Net broadcast. We appreciate this opportunity that God has given us. This is an open door that we might go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as the word of God commands us. And we know that the preaching of the gospel is pleasing to God. And that's why we try to do this every opportunity that we have. We've had a wonderful week, and we thank the Lord for all his blessings upon us and the good services that we've been in. The weather knocked out our last Sunday morning service, but we did get to go Sunday evening to the Mountain View Baptist Church in La Follette, Tennessee, with Pastor Tim Moore, and we had a wonderful service there, and we thank the Lord for meeting with us. We'd like to announce our upcoming services before we turn in the Word of God this evening and ask you to pray for us. We do have a local radio broadcast for those here in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. We're on AM 900 WKXV on Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9. If you have opportunity, please tune in, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Lord willing, I'll be in revival beginning on Sunday, January the 25th, going through Wednesday the 28th at the Tennessee Ridge Baptist Church in Erin, Tennessee. Pastor Charles Potter and the good folks there. And the Sunday morning service is at 10, the evening service at 6, and Monday through Wednesday will be at 7 o'clock. Pray for this revival meeting, that God will meet with us and do some wonderful things in these services. We'd encourage you to visit our website at www.liftingupjesus.com. Liftingupjesus.com. And if you'd like to correspond with us by way of email, we welcome you to do so. Evangelist J. Dixon at yahoo.com. Evangelist J. Dixon at yahoo.com. Please tell your friends about livepreaching.com. And you can view the broadcast anytime during the week. And please encourage others to view the broadcast as well. And we hope and pray that it'll be a great blessing to you. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to touch the service tonight for his honor and his glory. We'd like to say welcome to all of you there in internet land, and may the Lord bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come before you this evening, Lord, we want to thank you for another day that thou hast blessed us with and allowed us to live. Thank you, Lord, for life and breath, for health and strength. Thank you most of all, Father, for the free gift of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that his blood cleanses from all sin. And only because of that blood can we stand here this evening. Father, I pray now that thou wouldest fill us with the Spirit of God. Lord, I know there'll be no preaching done, no preaching possible without the touch of the Spirit. Help us tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, and bless every soul that hears and views the broadcast this evening and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I'm going to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. If you're in a position where you can get your Bible and study along with us, we would encourage you to do so. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. The writer here introduces us to the stadium in verse number 1. He says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He also speaks of the struggle In verse 1, he tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. This is not an easy command. That's why it's called a besetting sin. But here the writer tells us to lay aside these things because they are going to hinder us in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he speaks of the stadium. And then he speaks of the struggle. But I want to notice in verse number 2, he speaks of the strategy. Here the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our message this evening will be only 3 words. These 3 words lies the key to the Christian life. The words are looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. That's what we need to be doing in this thing we call the Christian life. We need to be looking away from all else and looking at him who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm reminded tonight that the world has their eyes upon many things other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hope for the future is in many other things other than Jesus Christ. Many in our country tonight are looking to the new president for their hope and for the answers in their life. But my friend, I tried to make this clear even before the election. I said plainly, my hope is not in Barack Obama, nor is my hope in John McCain. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. And so this evening, we need not look to government. We need to look to God for the answers in our life. And so the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. What are you looking at this evening? Amen. If you're looking to any other than the Lord Jesus, you're looking upon the wrong one. I'm afraid that many religious folks today are looking to a man, whether it be their elder or their pastor or their bishop or their priest or their pope or whatever title he may have. They are looking to that religious leader instead of looking unto Jesus. I believe if a preacher does his job, that when he's through preaching, you won't be looking at man. You'll be looking at Jesus. Amen. It is my responsibility to lift up Jesus before you and my friend to encourage you to look unto him. We're filled with thoughts of his person. The Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I like these words, author and finisher, here in the Holy Scriptures. Author, of course, speaks of the fact that he's the one who began our faith. He got this thing going. He's the architect of it. He's the author of it. He's the one who gave me faith. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this faith that we have, he's the author of it. But I'm glad he's more than that. Friend, he's the finisher of our faith as well. He not only started something when he saved us, but he's going to finish what he started. Amen. So many today have made promises and for one reason or another have not been able to fulfill that promise. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus will fulfill his promise and he'll finish what he started. The Bible said he's the finisher of our faith. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. I love this verse of scripture. The Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to give up until his people are a finished product. So he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're filled with thoughts of his person. And then we're filled with thoughts of his passion. The Bible goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We ought to look unto Jesus because he endured the cross for us. The Bible said it was for the joy that was set before him. Oh, yes, there was joy set before the Lord as it was upon that cross today. Now, you think about this, friend. The joy certainly was not in the thorns that had been placed into his brow. That joy certainly was not in those nails that had been driven through his hands and through his feet. The joy certainly wasn't the spear that pierced his side. The joy certainly was not the spit that had been spit into his face by those God-cursing Roman soldiers. No, the joy was looking forward, the joy that was set before him, knowing that through the blood that he shed that day, he would save his people from their sins. Glory to God. I'm glad that he endured the cross. Had Jesus not endured the cross, there'd be no hope this evening. Had he not despised the shame and finished his work, we would have no hope, no joy, no peace, no future. But because of his passion, we have these things tonight in Christ, and therefore we ought to look unto him. Looking unto Jesus, amen. Looking at his person, looking at his passion, and then we ought to look at his position. The Bible said he is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this is after his ascension, friend. After he had spent those days upon earth, after the resurrection, ministering to his people and showing himself alive. Friend, he ascended back to the Father, and the Bible said he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he sit down, preacher? He sat down because his earthly work of redemption was finished. He had finished the work. Now, if you look in the Old Testament temple, in that tabernacle, you'll find all sorts of pieces of furniture. And you'll find the table of showbread and the golden candlesticks. You'll find the laver and the altar and so on and so forth. But I tell you what you'll never find in that Old Testament is a chair. Why, preacher? Because the priest had no right to sit down. His work was not finished. Another day would come. More sins would be committed. And further sacrifices must be made. But I'm glad that when Jesus shed his blood and my friend placed it upon the eternal mercy seat of heaven, the Bible says he sat down. That signifies he had finished the work. And listen to me and listen. Well, there is no need tonight for another sacrifice. There is no need tonight for more animal blood. There is no need tonight for an earthly priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest of God. He paid the sacrifice, and he shed the only blood that God will ever need again. I'm glad that he did, and I'm glad that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We ought to look unto Jesus because of his person. We ought to look unto Jesus because of his passion. We ought to look unto Jesus because of his position. And so may God help all of us tonight to look away from ourselves and to forget who we are, so that our darkness flees away before the brightness of his lovely face. One hymn writer wrote these words down. Helen Limmel, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Oh, if we just look unto Jesus, things of this world wouldn't count as much to us. You say, preacher, how do I look unto Jesus? Well, you look unto him in the pages of the scripture. Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verse 39. He told that crowd to search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. And he went on to say, they are they which testify of me. Jesus here speaking of the scriptures that had been written before John's gospel had been recorded. And he's saying this, the written scriptures, the written word testifies of the living word. It exalts me. It lifts up my name. Therefore, you ought to search the scriptures. And one brother said it like this. He said, no passage of the scripture has been fully and completely interpreted until you've seen Jesus in it. And I believe he was right, brother. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so the scriptures tell us of Jesus. They tell us about his righteousness. Boy, I love it when the scripture says, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a loaded verse of scripture, friend. There in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the doctrinal teaching is this, that God allowed his son Jesus to become our sin. Though he was sinless, he had no sin of his own. He took on our sins in his own body on the tree, and he bore our sins, and by doing so, he gave us his righteousness. It's almost as if we traded places. He who was innocent became guilty so that the guilty could be made innocent. And I say praise the Lord for that. He who was sinless became sinful so that the sinful could be sinless. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, are you trying to say you're sinless? No, I'm not talking about the flesh. Oh, the flesh is not sinless. But there's a man on the inside that's been born again. A spiritual man, a new creature in Christ Jesus, who is clothed in his righteousness and in the eyes of God is without sin. He that is born of God committeth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Glory to God. I'm glad if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm glad that the scriptures speak to us of Jesus' righteousness, and we need to be looking at his righteousness, friends. Some folks have the idea this evening, Brother Bobby, that they'll get to heaven by their own righteousness. How sadly mistaken they are. In order for you to get to heaven, you'd have to be absolutely perfect. And you can't do that. And so what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to be found in one who is perfect. And the only one qualified is the Lord Jesus. People say so-and-so's qualified to do this and so-and-so's not qualified to do that. Well, I tell you, the only one that qualifies as sinless is the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad that he's given me his righteousness. You see, the only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness that he gives. And he gives us that through the person of Christ. See, if you're without Christ, and I know this may sound mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm giving you Bible truth. But if you die without Christ in your sins, then when you stand before God and he judges you, all those sins will be open. and you'll be judged according to those things done in the body. I'm glad that standing before him on that day, though I have nothing in the flesh to offer, I have the righteousness of Christ on my account. And if someone were to ask me, how are you going to heaven? I'd have to say, by the blood of the Lamb, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he gave us redemption. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're to look unto Jesus, because in him and in him alone is forgiveness of sins. I'm not trying to bash or belittle anyone's religion, but I tell you, friend, you can go in all the confessionals that you want to. You can confess and confess and confess to all the priests and popes you want to, and it won't do one thing to take away one sin you've ever committed. But I'm glad the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the blood of Christ, there is forgiveness for sins. But not only that, God not only has the power to forgive, but according to Hebrews 10 and verse 17, God has the power to forget. And I praise the Lord for that. Hebrews 10:17 said, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When you make a mistake in this life and you ask someone to forgive you, they may say, I forgive you. But our minds are human, and we'll always remember that thing. We'll always remember that sin and that offense. But God has the power to look at us through Christ. And when he sees us through Christ, our sins are covered by the blood. No wonder John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad in Christ there is righteousness and redemption. And so we ought to look unto Jesus tonight in the pages of the Scripture. And I tell you what, we ought to look for his return. Amen. Oh, I'm looking for his return. As I look around at the things of this world, which I try not to do too often, but you can't help but know what's going on. And when you see the way and the things that come to pass, it encourages us to look for the Lord's return. Now, some would find fault with me on this issue of looking for his return. Some would scoff and say, well, we've heard that all of our life. And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But my beloved friend, the Apostle Paul, in Titus 2 and verse 13 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if Paul was looking for him some almost 2,000 years ago, then how much more should we be looking for him today, looking for his return? The Scripture says that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My beloved friend, Christ is coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. No, I don't know the day. No, I don't know the hour. But I know he said, I will come again. And God cannot lie. He's coming again. And we need to be looking for him. Looking unto Jesus in the Scriptures. Looking unto Jesus in the Spirit. You see, many in our day are talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, on and on and on. And that's fine, friend. But I'm going to tell you, if a man has been filled with the Spirit of God, then he will speak of the Son of God. You want to know how to know whether or not your pastor is filled with the Holy Spirit? Then you ask yourself a question. Does he exalt the name of Jesus Christ? Amen.
does he preach Jesus? If he's preaching any other name, then it's evidence that man's not filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, then we uplift Jesus. Jesus told his disciples just before he went away in John 14, he talked about the Comforter. Four times he talked of the Comforter, a capital C in your King James Bible. And Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. The Holy Spirit points us to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus went on to say in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, Jesus said. The Spirit of God will point you to his teachings. The Spirit of God will point you to his testimony. And the Spirit of God will point you to his truth. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So when the Spirit of God is present, he causes us to look unto Jesus. Finally, my time is almost gone, but I'd like to say we need to look unto Jesus in his sacrifice. We need to look away from our sins, look away from ourselves, and look to the Savior. One brother said it like this. He said, for one look that we turn on ourselves, let us turn 10 upon Jesus. Looking at self only brings death, condemnation, worry, and fear over the past, even the future. But looking at the Savior brings us life. My hope and my prayer this evening for God's people is this, that we'll take our eyes off the things of the world and the things that do not count for eternity. And once again, we'll look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us pray together. Father, I pray you'll help your people tonight that we might take our eyes off the things that would bring us down, the things that would depress us and cause us to be discouraged. Lord, the misery and the sorrow of this old world. And help us, Father, to look to your Son, Jesus. We know tonight that in him alone, is pure and perfect righteousness. And sometimes, Lord, I know that thou must grow weary of looking at the sinfulness of man. So, Father, I pray tonight thou wouldest refresh thyself and take a look at thy perfect Son, Lord. And to the name of Jesus Christ be all the glory. Bless your people and use this broadcast for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week, we pray the Lord will bless you.